Brad Sesmatch Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Jody Jackson yesterday was terrific. I listened to the podcast coming back from California. Decided to do one of those deals where I've not had my family together since our wedding of our oldest, which was in March. And we did Disneyland. Haven't done Disneyland in a while. It was not the happiest place on earth, by the way. There were some grumpy people there. But I had fun, and we all had a good time. It was great to be together and disengage for about 48 hours. But Jody did terrific, and Jody's just one of those people. Like, was she maintenance yesterday, Eric? Did we have to have, like, did she diva out on us?
No.
Did the catering truck have to show up? Because she gave me this list of, like, she wanted a certain type of red grape in the back room, and she wanted a certain kind of bottled water.
No.
She had this vodka request. No, I'm just kidding. So she
no,
was fine.
She was very low maintenance.
Is she lower maintenance than me?
She was very low maintenance.
Wow, that's a
She asked you. She asked me if Brad put on makeup every day, and I said he did for TV shows, and then she started laughing.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, just seeing you put on makeup.
I'm good at it.
At 6 feet eight.
What's wrong with, what does height have to do with it? What is the problem? Do you want me to walk over right now, get my little makeup bag and start doing it on the air?
No.
I'll do it.
No.
I'll do it if you'd like. I have to work on this a little bit. I'm not gifted like she is.
You shouldn't be testy. You just got back from the happiest place on earth.
What are you talking about being testy? I'm not testy. I just was thanking Jody. Why would she laugh at me putting makeup on? It hurts my feelings. Not
she
have
laughed
her
at you putting makeup on.
Yeah. Well, she was good, though, right?
She did a nice job.
I haven't seen the show yet.
You should. It's a good show.
I was watching the Suns-Knicks game last night.
Another good show.
It was actually a pretty entertaining game.
Yeah, it really was.
It was pretty darn entertaining. And Al McCoy is going to be with us this morning. We'll have the voice of the Suns, the Hall of Famer Al McCoy, on at about 10:35 about last night's Suns game. It was very entertaining to watch. Of course, the Brad Sesmatch Football AZ show that Jody hosted followed last night. We have 8 airings each day on that on Fox Sports AZ. Good Eat the Movies is today. We're going to move Bill up because Rogue One comes out. And I've done Bill for 4 years, 5 years now of movies. And Rogue One, I don't know if the Star Wars thing is just kind of worn itself out. My youngest, who's 12, is excited. My daughters, who are in their 20s and have grown up on the Star Wars thing, they're okay with it. I would say not so much. I mean, they're going to go tomorrow night when it opens. I'm sure many of you are going to be in it and geek out on Star Wars. So we'll have Bill on that. And then Alan Thicke passed away. So Bill's obviously got to have some thoughts on Alan Thicke. Alan Thicke came up not just with Fuller House and Full House. He had this. There was this cool game show back in the day called Joker's Wild. I love Joker's Wild. That game was awesome, and he was part of that. And he had the theme song to that. He had the theme song to Facts of Life. He was only 69, Alan Thicke. So we're going to talk to Bill about that. That comes up shortly. And also La La Land. Bill has been gushing about that, and we'll let him go a little bit further. That comes up in about 45 minutes. I guess on the sports end of things, I could look ahead to tonight in Tucson where Grand Canyon plays U of A, but on the surface, that should just be a blowout. That really should be a blowout. I could look at Drew Butler being cut by the Cardinals and saying, if I'm leading this show with a punter and trying to analyze why in God's green earth it took them forever to figure out to let go of a punter, then I'm just falling into that lowest common denominator of all we're going to do is analyze football stuff all day long, and we're better than that. Especially this team. This was the all-or-nothing team, and clearly it's been the nothing team, right? When they write the book about the Cardinals, the headline should be nothing. All or nothing. That was just jammed down our throats all off-season. We're all or nothing. It's nothing. That should be the headline, nothing. I saw where Kent Summers... And Kent's going to be in next week to do some long-form stuff with me on his book. I saw where Kent wrote, he had a very good story, very good piece on the analysis of how it works with Steve Keim and Bruce Arians and Michael Bidwell and how the three of them have stayed out of each other's lane. And maybe that is going to be tested here for the first time. And I would think that it already has been tested. I remember back during the Wiz days, and I talked with Ken And there were times where things were coming down from above, from the owner's box, where after games were over, that didn't go so well, that weren't pleasant. So I would imagine Bruce has some of that hanging over him. I would just imagine that. The fact that they've been so embarrassed this year by such a just an awful season after building everybody up to unattainable heights, and to sit there now and just be humiliated and be lumped in as one of the worst teams, one of the most disappointing teams in the entire National Football League, and they are. No other way to put it. No sugarcoating here. So sit here and say, wow, they got rid of Drew Butler. Well, that's going to change things around. They have the Saints this week. Doesn't matter what they do the next three games.
Have we ever had a season where the punter has been so discussed week in and week out with an NFL team? Okay. Every single week, it's a punter, it's a holder, it's a long snapper, it's a special teams
gaff. Let me go further than that.
Yes, I'm sick of hearing about the punters.
What has Arizona State rolled out every week? Zane Gonzalez.
Yep.
Okay, and that's fine. First team All-American. When you have nothing else to point towards in your seasons... I saw where there was another story about ASU. I didn't even read it. I just saw the headline about their uniform stuff. I mean, come on. We've sat here and said, when we just analyze uniforms all day long, that means there's nothing to talk about on the field. That's what happens when those, and when you analyze your special teams, it means there's nothing to talk about on the field. Like Peter's segment yesterday with Jody was really good. It was really, really good because he was going down the paths of, okay, what do you have to do here in the offseason? I got to get an answer from Larry Fitzgerald. I've got to figure out what I'm going to do with Chandler Jones. You know, I think Paula wrote about they need to address the quarterback thing. I've been sitting here pounding my fist for the last 2 years on that deal. I think the thing that needs to be written and talked about, just talked about in very fluent terms with the right people in place, is has the window closed? Remember, we heard about this window of opportunity. And on the surface, I'd have to say, yeah, the window's closed. But when you have the best running back, arguably, outside of Ezekiel Elliott on your roster, and you do have a wide receiver who's uber over the top talented and still productive in Larry Fitzgerald, and you don't know for sure if he's going to come back. I mean, Kurt Warner told me on this show he believes that Larry will walk away. Well, if that's the case, then this coming Sunday will be Larry's final home game. This Sunday will be Larry's final home game. The fact that not much has been made out of it tells me that there's still behind the scenes people don't know. This will be released through said national insider. It will not happen through people here in Phoenix. That's just a fact. Okay, so I can look at it and say this Sunday could well be his final home game. And we could play the game for an hour of what's your favorite Larry Fitzgerald memory and all that stuff. And was it the Super Bowl game? Was it this catch? Was it that catch? Was it last year against the Packers? What do you remember about Larry when he first came in? He didn't want to block. You know, they had Anquan and they had all this, too many receivers. And there are people, including me, who said, you know, they've got other areas that they need to address, but they're going with the wide receiver here because there were other areas they needed to address. And they were right. You know, as Larry proved this year that he could still play, this goes back to what Kurt Warner told me on this show, that the injuries have started to add up a little bit. I saw Kurt Saturday morning at a club basketball game, and we didn't talk at all because we're both watching our kids over at Chaparral High School. I didn't talk to him at all about sports. I think it's kind of creepy when a guy is out there, and I get it, fans don't really know what to do. Like, Kurt Warner's just there trying to be a dad, and people are wanting to come up to him while the game is going on. Like, come on, really? We didn't talk about any of that stuff. But, yeah, they cut their punter, but there's bigger stuff than that. When you have just a dreadful season and you're analyzing whether your special team coach needs to go or not, I get it because the special teams are a big reason why this team has not had success. But at the same time, when Bruce Arians just fillets Justin Bethel, it goes back to the being a professional comment from a couple weeks ago and having a players only meeting. Okay, so that's got to be one of the players that just hasn't acted as they want him to act. When you draft Robert Kimdichi, he doesn't even sniff the field. He doesn't know how to tie a tie. He's not acting like a pro. You know, you have to say, okay, that's a missed draft pick. DJ Humphreys this year has made progress, but anybody who's going to say, oh yeah, he's got it all figured out for the next 10 years, I just don't see it. So the roster is in a state of flux, so the window, you would think, has to be closed. If you're David Johnson, what do you mean the window's closed? I'm just entering my prime. Very fair to talk about. Very, very fair to talk about. The Rams coaching deal, so this goes back to the Cardinals. We just kind of don't want to talk about the fact that Bruce Arians has had two stays in the hospital here the last 4 months. We just don't want to acknowledge that. We just want it to go away. We don't want to even bring up that, is this going to be the first time that Bruce and Michael and Steve don't all get along and see things eye to eye with the coaching staff. We don't want to bring up the possibility that because he's had not one, but two health scares, or you want to call them health episodes, whatever it is you want to call them, he was in the hospital twice in the last 5 months. So you don't want to bring this up, but what if you have to get yourself into a coaching search? Every coach, it doesn't matter if it's in my business, your business, if it's in the business of the NFL, you always have to have five names on the top of a list in case something happens. You just do. So I think there's more to it. And if the Rams now are sitting there, and not if, they're sitting there with a coaching search now, how desirable is the Rams job versus some of the other jobs that potentially could come open? Like San Francisco, probably going to come open, it sounds like. Chip Kelly may get blown out up there. If you look around the rest of the National Football League, what's going on down in Houston? Brock Osweiler has been a disaster, but it doesn't fall on him because of his contract. Does it fall on the coach? Well, the coach having a pretty good season by some regards, others not. Indianapolis, have they just crapped the bed with their roster with Andrew Luck? You go down each team and say, are they going to look at making a change? And you can say, well, New York Jets, that job always comes open. So you got to get Bruce's deal. Are you in the right health in the offseason? That's got to just be put out there for people to look at and to analyze. Then you have Larry Fitzgerald's future, Carson Palmer, do you bring him back or not, and all that stuff. And does he want to come back? So the laundry list is growing. But when I sit here and go through, they finally cut a punter. I mean, come on. There's other stuff going on. On the other side, we'll talk about the Suns with Al McCoy here in about 10 minutes. On the other side, there's been quite a bit of college football news and some college basketball within our great state that I want to get into. Richard Sherman's poop fest comments are pretty funny. And the NFL owners are meeting right now down in, they're meeting right now. And Von Miller weighed in on Richard Sherman's comments, which are pretty interesting too. That's all straight ahead. I'm Brad Sussman. Al McCoy comes up in about 10 minutes. Suns went the win last night over the Knicks. Very entertaining game. It's what it used to be like. So we'll get into that with Al McCoy. They have San Antonio tomorrow night. Cardinals are back on the practice field today. They have the Saints this weekend. And tonight in Tucson, U of A plays Grand Canyon in basketball. I may get into that in this segment. So yesterday, I get a text as I'm driving back across the fruited plain from California to Arizona that Anu Solomon had left U of A. And my initial reaction on that was, what is it that they're going to do? What can Rich do in Tucson to have a quarterback who's going to be there longer than, I don't know, a few years, who doesn't get beat up? Like, I just don't see any promise for what's going on in Tucson right now. I don't. In fact, when I look at what's going on at Arizona State and Arizona right now, and because U of A beat, drilled, hammered, drummed ASU. Last time I checked, which was just not even a month ago, just absolutely annihilated ASU. As bad a season as U of A had put out there, is this really that big of a loss on one hand? The other hand is, where does Anu Solomon end up? Anu Solomon came to U of A as one of the more highly decorated quarterbacks to go to Tucson that I can recall. Eric, am I right on that? Is there anybody that...
He was a four-star prep standout at Bishop Gorman up in Vegas.
Great program.
Had a great freshman year.
So the fact that he's leaving, I guess, because he's able to play immediately.
Well, he's supposedly going to graduate, and then he'll be grad eligible in 2017. And I think it's good. I think Anu needs a change of scenery.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. Well, and I also feel like he's probably done everything down there that Rich Rod can't count on him. He couldn't count on him. at the end of the season. I mean, I had some people that said, does he still like football or not?
I don't know. And I think that's a very valid question. I do. I mean,
a lot of these kids, a lot of these athletes, when they, you may think, guys, if you're in your 20s and your 30s, then I'm not making any sense right now. But if you're beyond that, I'm making a lot of sense, because you get into this space where all you are known as is a football player, and then it starts to come to the end and it becomes not so fair. And you're the stud player on your sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, you're in your high school, you're the BMOC, you get recruited, you go to college, and at college you're going to be the BMOC. And then all of a sudden they go recruit another quarterback, and then they recruit another quarterback, and then you get dinged up, and then you get lose a game here and you get drilled there. And then you get a concussion and you get beat up a little bit and the team starts to go south and you're trying to balance school and you have people pressuring you, because back in the day when you're BMOC on campus, you're going to go to the NFL. You know, you're sure you had all these stars next to your name. So I can't tell you how many players I've sat with, doesn't matter if it's here, TV, radio, doesn't matter, just visited with, that fell out of love of football. And it doesn't happen as much in other sports. There are some basketball kids I've run into. By the time they get through college, they're just done.
And the balance, Brad, is difficult. I mean, football, if you're a college Division I football player, it takes a lot of time. You have to get treatment. You have to go to practice. You have to watch film. You have to go in the coaches' meetings.
5:30 a.m.
5:30 a.m. workouts. And after a while, I can see why some of these guys would kind of just think it's a job, because in a way, it is.
It is a job. No, it is. The way the college setup is, we're going to get you ready to play in the NFL. That's clearly it. And then there comes that realization of, well, you're not going to be an NFL player. And, okay, if you're not an NFL player, then you're just doing this to get through college, and it's supposedly fun. Well, the fun is going out of it when you're getting your head kicked in and you're getting concussed and you're getting beat up and there's someone who's taking your playing time because you're just not as valuable as you once were to the program. This goes over to the NFL, and I'll get into that in a minute with Richard Sherman and Von Miller's comments, because I find that to be very fascinating.
And you and I have talked about this several times on the show. The quarterback position is so unique at the college level, because only one can play. So you mentioned ASU. They're going to have like six quarterbacks next year. Guess what? Only one of those guys is going to be the starter.
Well, here's the thing on that.
If you're a wide receiver, you can get playing time, because especially with spread offenses, you can see the field a lot in four wide receiver, five wide receiver sets.
No, so. I believe what you're saying, but let's just go through. I believe it was the UCLA game where it was one quarterback drops and another quarterback drops. I mean, that's how quickly it can change.
That was sort of an anomaly a little bit, but I see what you're saying.
It can change like that on one hand. Here's the other side of it, and I've actually talked to some people about the whole quarterback situation at ASU. I think this is just me, because none of these coaches would admit it. They're in a dead period right now until I think it's the 12th of January. I think there's a real question on all the kids at quarterback at ASU on how many of them want to compete. How many of them want to compete? This goes over to Sam Cunliffe, the kid who just quit over at ASU, is a top 50 basketball kid. Does he want to compete? And so at Anu Solomon, back to Anu, does he want to keep competing? Or, hey, he's the BMOC at U of A. We got him to transfer in, and we're filling the blank school. If it's going home to Nevada, Las Vegas, his high school coach is the coach at UNLV. He can finish out on a high note. Anu comes home.
No pressure.
No pressure. You can go to the University of Hawaii, go play out there. No pressure. They're going to get drilled. He can go to North Dakota State. I don't know. He can go to Cal Poly. He can go to a lot of places and finish out. And it's a Pac-12 quarterback showed up on campus. All of a sudden, that flips the script on how talented that kid could be. So that, you know, that's on a news front. But there is question about whether he wants to compete. I think there is some question about all these quarterbacks at ASU, whether or not some of them want to compete. Again, BMOC, rivals this, scout that, and that stuff. I saw where scout filed bankruptcy. All that stuff, the whole stars thing, that's a dated platform. These kids release where they're going to college, so this whole thing about pay for access, no, it doesn't work anymore. Not in big numbers. So, you know, some of these quarterbacks are going to leave. Do they want to compete? Over on the basketball end, we had a top 50 player in the nation walk away from Arizona State this last week. Top 50 player in the nation. Didn't want to compete. From what I was told, then there was, well, we don't want to hammer the kid going out the door. Then there's just me watching him. When I watch Markson, the big center for U of A, that kid's going to be a one and done. There's no question. And he's terrific. I love watching him play. I never saw Sam Cumcliffe when he was out on the basketball court for ASU. I never saw a top 50 player. All I saw was a kid who was kind of there, kind of not there. And was that fall on Bobby Hurley? I don't know. Cunliffe, you know, and when Sean Miller has these top 50 kids, how many of them make it through versus leave the program? We're in a day and age where kids don't want to compete. They want it handed to them. This is too easy. I've been told I'm the greatest thing ever. Now, Anu's case, he's been beat on in college. He's going to leave that program and head somewhere else. But I think you could tie them all together. And this leads over, before I get out of the segment, because we have Al coming up. The Rams coaching thing, that's one big NFL story. But I think what Richard Sherman and Von Miller have said in the last 24 hours is very interesting to me. Richard Sherman said it's a poop fest. That was his quote, a poop fest for them to play, and that the NFL gives us the middle finger again on playing Thursday night games. Players aren't ready to go and so on and so forth. So Richard Sherman goes after him. Again, this is, you're going to go play whether you like it or not. Von Miller comes out and says, we've got to start watching out for each other. Meaning these players are getting run into the ground because the NFL just doesn't flat care. I'm going to do a big thing next week on concussions, because the concussion settlement's coming down and it's nothing for these players. It's amazing to me how the players just cave in and collapse and how the owners have just got them. They just got them, you know? And their health is, I don't care. Workforce, we're just going to get more players. So when you have Richard Sherman coming out and Von Miller coming out, it's about time some of these star players come out. Because we'll run into NFL guys. I just want to get out of the game. I want to get healthy and I want to get my pension. That's it. I want to get out of the game. I want to get out with my health. I want to get my pension. Al McCoy is next. We'll talk about the Suns last night. The Spurs coming into town tomorrow. It's kind of where they're at. It's always good to catch up with the Hall of Famer. That's Al McCoy. That's next. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Bill Goodykunz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central, weekly with us on all things movie and some entertainment as well. Alan Thicke passing away at the age of 69. It's very sad. And Bill has seen Rogue One, the new Star Wars, and La La Land. That's supposed to be terrific. That's all with Goody at the Movies in about 10 minutes. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, Brad Sussmat with your TV show on Fox Sports Arizona, Brad Sussmat Football AZ. Tonight with five airings tonight, Jody Jackson filling in for me, and I appreciate her doing that. The Hall of Famer, the legendary Al McCoy, joins us now, Suns Hall of Fame broadcaster. The Suns, I saw them play the Lakers the other night, gritty, gutty win. Then I saw the Pelicans game, and that was just kind of a gut-wrencher. And then last night, that's a good win, and they've got San Antonio tomorrow night. I wrote earlier this week in a three dots. It's a big week for the Suns to get fans interested. You beat the Knicks with Hornacek coming back here, and then you have the Spurs, and they play Oklahoma City on Saturday. It's a big week. So here is Al now. How are you, first of all? I have not seen you. I've been at games, but you're doing your thing, so I've not seen you.
I'm a busy guy.
You are. You're doing your thing. You know, I get it.
Always great to talk with you. Always great to talk with you, Brad.
I appreciate it, Al. All right, so what do you make out of this team? Forget about 8-17. We're 25 games into this season. What do you make out of this team?
Well, you know me. I always like to look at the bright spots. And
sure.
You just mentioned a couple. I thought their overall game in Lakerland was one of their best of the year. Then after stumbling against the Pelicans and losing that overtime game, they came back very strong last night in another overtime game and beat the Knicks. But obviously I think the bottom line is a new team, young players, not consistent. And consistency is what every coach in the NBA is striving for. And the Suns are in that same position. You know, when they're good, they're good. And when they're not, well, then they're not very good.
Right.
And I guess that's the honest way we have to look at it.
But, you know, I do think in watching them, I'm actually becoming optimistic that they're turning the corner off of this long drought of making it into the postseason. And that's been my biggest beef is they've missed out year after year after year, but with no hope. I actually see some pieces here. I don't know if they're all the right pieces, Al, or if there's going to come a point where they've got to make a major move to move into the next spot, but they're only four games out of the last playoff spot. Do you see them turning the corner over this long extended playoff drought?
I think they can. And although I don't think the expectations really for a playoff spot this year were there at the start of the season, mm-hmm. but it's a long campaign, as you know, Brad, and a lot of things can happen. I think really the exciting thing right now is to play Eric Bledsoe. I don't think there's any one or two other point guards, you know, you can say James Harden and Russell Westbrook, of course, but Bledsoe is just playing fantastic. I mean, here he has three games in a row over 30 points. He has really stimulated what they do offensively, the way he pushes the basketball. He's really on top of his game right now, and that has just been very, very effective. When he is, the Suns are getting away with some victories. And there's been other bright spots also. You have to take a look last night at, you know, we also kid Tyson Chandler,
yep.
You know, the years that he's had in this game. And yet, with Alex Len out last night with kind of a minor hip banged up, the game goes to overtime. And here's Chandler playing over 41 minutes and getting 23 rebounds.
Right.
And so people are stepping up. It's just you go back to that same old consistency thing that you have to do it every night. Not many teams in the NBA do it every night, but the Suns certainly need to do more to get more in that win column.
Here's the thing, though. You've sat there as a Hall of Fame broadcaster, and you've seen teams that I'm sure deep inside of you, it's, man, this team's not good. And then you look at teams and say, well, this team may figure it out, or this team's going to be terrific, and I'd be surprised with anything less than that. I guess what I'm wondering is, have you been able to figure this team out and look at them and say, this is what I've got to work with as the voice of the team this year, 25 games in?
Well, I think you have to look at it that way. You know, the amazing thing is the league has changed so much over the last 12, 14 years, Brad, now that teams are drafting players out of daycare centers, as I say, and you don't draft on talent anymore.
Yeah.
You draft on hope. You draft a player hoping that maybe 2, 3, 4 years down the line, he can be a major contributor. And that's really where the Suns are right now. I think we all felt the draft picks were outstanding. When you look at Marquise Chris, you look at Dragan Bender, you look at Tyler Ulis,
yep.
These are all three players that have the potential ability to really be forces in the league. But it's a waiting game. Now, that's the toughest thing to do in pro sports. You just can't keep changing personnel every year or every other year. You have to make some commitments, and you have to take a chance, and you have to stay. And it looks like that the Suns with this group are looking at that situation. Now, the other side of the coin, Brad, is, you know, to really be on top of the pile in the NBA, you need a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Suns there yet? Well, you can say, well, Bledsoe's having this great year. Maybe he's getting close, and maybe he is. But there aren't that many superstars around. But when you look at the top teams in the NBA, there's one or two with those teams.
Sure, sure. And San Antonio here tomorrow night has Kawhi Leonard, who quietly has gone about his business in the shadow of,
yes.
of Tim Duncan and, of course, Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili. Suns play the Spurs tomorrow night. The Hall of Famer Al McCoy with us, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I guess one thought on Bledsoe. I was hesitant with the knee injuries and surgeries that he's had to say, this is my guy moving forward, because he's been cut on so many times. Eddie Johnson told me this last summer. He said, no, you're dead flat wrong, Brad. He's going to turn the corner now because he's hit that age. He's at that maturity. His body's filled out. He's going to be just fine. Are you surprised, Al, that Bledsoe has gone out and performed as he has for the most part this season? I think just in the last three games, those 30 points per game, first time since Amari. Are you surprised with what he's done this year?
Well, not really. I'm one of those people. I really like Eric Bledsoe as a person. He's just a great guy. And he worked so hard this summer. When I saw him late in the summer, I said, who is this guy? He lost weight. Mm-hmm. He was all strength and muscle and really has worked on rehabilitation and being on top of his game physically. And I think he has done that. And then I think the mental aspect of the game has really matured. I think Eddie had a good point that he's at the age now. He does have the experience where he can step up. And he wanted to assume the leadership role on this team. And obviously, and my partner in crime, Tim Kempton, said it, I thought, as well as anybody last night, with the game on the line now for the Suns, who do you want to have the basketball?
Yeah.
And I think we'd all say Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah, no.
And I think he's reached that status, and he wants that. He wants to be that guy.
That's a good point. What is it about Earl Watson that fans don't know that you see when you're down there doing the interviews and traveling around with them that you really like, that you feel like, you know what, there's been some said and some written about Earl Watson, but here's something people should be aware of with him that I really like. What would that be, Al?
Well, he's a people person. He believes in the fact that you have to have a group of players together that not only can stimulate things on the floor, but also can grasp that togetherness off the floor. He's a firm believer on how a team handles itself, both in the community, away from the game, and on. It's just as important as how they play on the game. He's a strong believer in that philosophy, and I don't think any of us would argue that point with him at all. He feels that you need that type of togetherness to produce wins. And I think he is a good coach to work with these young players to try and develop that type of attitude. And I think we've seen it from the young players, Marquise Chriss, mm-hmm. Dragan Bender, Tyler Ulis. And he's a very sincere type individual. And I think the players, the thing they probably respect about him most is he says what he feels. He tells you the way that it is, and you always know where you stand with him. And as you and I both know, Brad, one of the most important things about coaching on any professional level now, whether it's the NFL, the NHL, or the NBA, you have to be able to deal with your players. And I think being a former player, coming out of that UCLA mold, that is the type of development he wants to see with this team. And he's going in that direction. Now, is that going to produce all the wins everyone would like to see right off the bat? Only time will tell.
Sure. I mean, he's only coached 50 games, thereabouts.
That's right.
I mean, he hasn't
That's
coached.
Right.
People forget about that this takes time to develop being a head coach.
No question.
You know, he took over towards the end of last season. He's 25 games in this year. So I can't sit here and make blanket statements, bad coach, good coach. I mean, I like what I'm seeing, but I liked what I saw out of Jeff Hornacek, too. So
yeah, it was another chance. After they decided to make the coaching change, do you go after a veteran coach with mm-hmm. this team, or do you look at the upside of Earl Watson? That was a decision that the ownership of the front office had to make, and of course they feel that they have made the right decision with this team, but basically it's a young team with just the spattering of a couple of veterans.
Before I let you go, we're talking with Al McCoy, the Hall of Fame broadcaster. Suns at home tomorrow night against San Antonio. Saturday night, Al, you play at Oklahoma City, and I'm just curious for you, having seen the league, Russell Westbrook trying to average a triple-double, do you think he can do it? Is it a different era of averaging a triple-double than Oscar Robertson from your point of view?
Well, certainly it's different now. As I said, the game has changed a lot. I'd be surprised if he was able to do it for the entire season, but he's a great player, and he certainly has the capabilities. And then we look at James Harden and what Coach Mike D'Antoni has done turning around that Houston team, and you're looking at two other exciting guards. I mentioned them in the same breath with Eric Bledsoe, but they certainly have taken the role of leadership on their respective teams. No question about it.
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time as always. Safe travels. See you down the road. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Always good to talk to you, Brad.
You too, Al.
And see you at the ballpark.
You got it. Stay well. There's Al McCoy, Hall of Fame broadcaster of the Suns. Appreciate his time. Goody at the Movies is next. So you're into Star Wars. It's coming. Bill has seen it. We'll get his review on the other side. I think we have the trailer for that, too. We'll roll in a little bit. Yeah, we'll show you some Star Wars. You can geek out on that. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, we're going to talk with Bill, because Bill has seen Rogue One, which is infinitely more important than the Cardinals getting rid of a punter when they're out of the race. I just don't care. This is far more interesting to me. What? You're laughing at me. I don't care about Drew Butler. They're out of the playoffs. This is team nothing. Not all or nothing. It's team nothing. That's just
it's
one.
Kind of worse.
Just one headline. Just nothing. That's it. How's that?
It's just kind of worse when they were good for a while. It's almost like the story Flowers for Algernon. Did you remember that when you were a kid? Like the
yeah.
The kid gets really smart for a while. They do this experiment on him, and he gets really smart, and life is great, and then he just reverts. They made a movie out of it called Charlie. and it's really sad. But I imagine some Cardinals fans are probably really sad right now, too.
Yeah, it's been rough. All right, so let's get into this. Rogue One, you have seen it. The new Star Wars, it starts tomorrow night. Is this any good?
It's very good. The thing that I liked about it, and I am not one of those guys who can tell you the name of every minor character who strapped on a lightsaber at some point. I'm just not. But I've seen them all, and the first three, became the 4, 5, 6 in the series or whatever, all very good. The last one, the one last year was good, but this is an offshoot of these, sort of. And while it plays into the big mythology of Star Wars, the thing I liked about it was they're also freed from that, because these are not characters, you know. You're not expecting somebody. Han Solo doesn't have to act a certain way. You know, Chewbacca doesn't have to do this thing that he usually does. I mean, they can make their own story out of it. And in a lot of ways, it's a lot grittier and a lot more... kind of grown up and violent. I mean, parts of this, there are some war scenes that reminded me, not to the same intensity, but looked kind of like Apocalypse Now or something.
Really?
It's not that good a movie, but some of it's pretty intense. And what I want to do is that thing where I could spoil it so bad for everybody.
No.
And I don't want to do that. I hate spoilers. But what I want to do is be able to talk to people about it. Nobody, of course, has seen it. And I want to be able to say, wow, that surprised me. And they're, you know, they do the thing that they call fan service, which is big in these things. You got to throw them a bone, evidently. And there is some of that. I mean, there are a couple of cameos that are like, well, that's just stupid. They just stuck them in there to stick them in there. And there's one, but there's one that kind of makes sense, but is also interesting in its way. It's very cool. It's very exciting. And it's that whole idea of how they got the plans to begin with. So
is it a roller coaster, or is it pretty much, you're just going to sit there for 2 hours and your jaw's going to drop?
It's not. Again, since it's its own story, it's not like the 2-hour-long spoiler alert that the last one was.
Okay. That's what I wanted to get to.
It sort of unfolds as a movie. Now, in terms of action, it's pretty much a roller coaster, because there's a lot of – I mean, these are rebels, and this is the beginning of a rebellion. And, you know, maybe it's not. Maybe it's been going on for a while. My story. But it's definitely – it takes place. It takes place after – This thing gets so confused. It takes place after the last three that were actually supposed to be set before the first three, and this would be kind of in the middle.
You lost me.
And then the one last year is set after all of them.
And there's another one next year, right? They're going to go like boom, 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 right?
I don't know.
You don't know that one? I was at Disneyland. I was at Disneyland on Monday. Okay. It has turned into Star Wars, not Disneyland. It is Star Wars land in a hurry. Like, there's the stage shows for kids. There's lightsabers everywhere. They're building that whole Star Wars park over where over by Bear Country and where Tom Sawyer Island is. It just looks like Star Wars is going to overtake Disneyland. It's no longer going to be Disney. So the facts are there's more of these coming from what I've read. And I'm sure you've heard that. It's just, when are there more of these? This is not the end, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Next year there's going to be another one that is part of last year's franchise.
Okay.
This is a variant. These are characters that we have not seen before. So, you know, these guys kind of go their own way. Can you blame Disney? I mean,
No.
This thing is going to make just scads of money. And I think, you know, it's pretty well reviewed. The last one was well reviewed, and the last one ended up being the biggest movie of all time. So there's no reason to think that word of mouth and repeat customers. And, I mean, you know, I'm sorry, but I got to say, the just ridiculous level of fanaticism that fans have for this stuff is, you know, it's going to make it huge.
Alan Thicke passed away. When I say Alan Thicke to you at 69 years of age, I threw out Joker's Wild earlier in the show because that was just a show back in the day when we were kids. That was not his biggest show by any stretch of the imagination. But when Alan Thicke passed away, what went through your mind?
He was often a guest on the Dan Le Batard show. I don't know. He was not in my. He wrote the theme songs to all that. He wrote the theme song to Wheel of Fortune. He wrote theme song to a lot of stuff. But I was not of the generation that watched this show. Mm-hmm. I was too old. So, you know, I mean, I was surprised. And of course, as a kid, you know, my kids know. When I said I saw the thing on my phone, I said, "Oh, look, Alan Thicke died." And they said, "Oh, is that Robin Thicke's dad?" I was like, yeah. I guess if you're a parent, that's kind of a good thing. That's how you like the things.
That's how you want it to work out.
But yeah.
All right, you got about a minute and a half. You got about a minute and a half in the segment. La La Land. You've talked about it just in hinting around, but now you can give me the full bill treatment. Is this any good?
It's great, great, great. And you know, a lot of times you can say, I can tell you Manchester by the Sea is great. And you can say, oh, sure, it's great. And you go see it and you say, oh, my God. It's like, it may be great, but it's so depressing. And I can say, and sometimes you'll say something's great and people's tastes are just different. They may not agree. But I have no hesitation telling anybody who likes movies, this movie is great and you will love it. And you will see it more than once. It's all the caveats apply. It is a full-on musical. They sing all the time. They dance all the time. And sometimes it's the two of them tap dancing, and sometimes it's a big Busby Berkeley kind of thing. It doesn't matter. And the other thing is, you think musical, and you think, oh, it's this frothy romance and all that stuff. It's not that at all. Mm. it is for a little while, but this thing takes a turn, and it's, you know, it's the whole, you know, yes, it's that whole boy meets girl kind of thing. But I think people will be surprised at how emotional it is and how kind of tough it is in places, because it really does. I mean, Emma Stone, I've talked to her again for this, and Ryan Gosling, she wants to be an actress, he wants to be a jazz musician, and he's like this jazz purist, which costs him all these jobs and stuff. They're struggling to make it in Hollywood, and it really does get into the strain that puts on a relationship. Like, what happens when you're both struggling? You know, it's hard to get by. What happens when one of you gets success and the other doesn't?
Right.
And that's even tougher.
No, that,
and it's. I just cannot recommend it highly enough. It's fantastic.
All right, you're gushing about it, and with that, I'll let you go. I appreciate your time and your insight as always.
I like gushing.
Yeah. see you later. There's Bill. We're going to leave Bill laughing, which is always good. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now that you can check out. Sports360AZ.com, where Arizona-centric, pro college high school makes no difference to me. Things that we see going on in our great state. Our chairman of the board is Jared Nielsen. Eric Sorensen, your senior executive vice president of everything or nothing, depending on the day. Appreciate Haley Stasiak and Jordan Hamm for their support as well. Thanks for being with us.